Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good that we're here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen, until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. I think it's always important that we as a church and a pastor continue to get to know one another. And so in that spirit, I want to share one of the guilty pleasures that I have, that Pastor Malcolm has. And we all have them, but I love makeover shows. Now, my tastes have gone from home and house makeovers to makeovers of restaurants, like Restaurant Impossible, Kitchen Nightmares, shows like that. But I watch all kinds of makeover shows. I got started with this when my mom got sick, especially she would come home from chemo, and when I was visiting, I'd sit and watch these shows with her for hours. My mother loved so many of the different shows, but she would force me to watch them, especially her favorite one was What Not to Wear, which is no longer on. But if you did not know this show, friends and family of people who dressed and or groomed themselves kind of poorly would nominate you, and two experts would help you pick out clothes that actually made you look better and got you a haircut and groomed and all these different things. I think my mother, God bless her, was trying to tell me that I needed a makeover, but she didn't. Instead of saying that, she just kind of made me watch these shows until I got the hint. Now, I'm not the dapper fellow that you see before you today. One time in my life, I wore the same white sweater for a week nonstop. I'm not proud of that, but we're sharing. We're sharing with each other. But what I love most about these shows, and still do, was the reveal. I love the end of the show when they showed what the person looked like with these new clothes, the new haircut, the before and the after. It was amazing that most of it, if not all of them, looked like a completely different person. New clothes, new hair, they seemed like new people, yet the person had been there the whole time. And this brings us to our passage from Mark and to this Sunday, which in the church calendar is Transfiguration Sunday. I think that the people on the makeover shows were transfigured, so to speak. Transfiguration means that appearance, what someone looks like, has changed. It's from the same root where we get the word metamorphosis. Transfigured means just that. Jesus, when he was on the mountain with the inner circle of disciples, like we said, when he did certain things, he wouldn't bring all 12. For bigger events, he would bring James and John, who are the sons of thunder, and Peter. So one of these events, up on the mountain, all of a sudden, Jesus looked different, drastically different. The gospel writer described it as his clothes were white. He was beaming, glowing. Something was different. It was Jesus, the same Jesus, but it was him glorified. It was an instant makeover. But I think we wrongly assume that this makeover, this morphing, was just for Jesus, that only he gets to be changed. But that's not true on this Transfiguration Sunday. I contend that we as followers of Jesus, in order to do this life of faith thing well, and be who we're called to be, that Jesus did it first, but we're called to be changed. We're called to be transfigured. So this morning, the title of the sermon and what we're going to kind of focus on is that we need a makeover. We need to be transfigured too. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." We are a new creation when we choose to follow Christ, to seek first the kingdom of God. Then we are something new. Then we are something different. So we need to be transfigured too. If we are something new, somebody new, then we're changed just like Jesus was. Now, what I'm saying, I don't think we all need to go start shopping at fancier stores or go to spas and get manicures or pedicures, or we all need to go get haircuts or get our makeup done. Some people out there are probably saying, thank you. But what we need to realize is that for Jesus to show this change, it was his clothes, because he was already perfect. He was already on the inside this new creation. He was the way humans were created and needed to be. So his change was outward to show what it really looked like. The glow, the white clothes. Because remember, white back then was hard to come by. It was hard. They didn't have bleach and things like that. So, white didn't really turn bright, bright white. It was symbolic and reflective of what his soul, what his heart already was. But for us following Jesus, being transfigured doesn't mean our clothes, but our lives need to be changed, need to be different. We need to look at somewhat different. We need to look somewhat different than the world. Not in what we wear, but different in how we go about living life. For us, being transfigured into a new creation is like changing your car from gas to a hybrid electric. You change one source of power to another, but it's still a car. We are still people. We still look the same. But our source, our reasons for being, our goals, our ways of interacting with the world is different than others. Our inner source has changed. We see death, life, money, other people in a different way. We value things that others do not and devalue things that the world does. And one day, Clarence Jordan, who's the founder of Koinonia Farm and a Southern activist and one of my heroes of the faith, there's a story where he toured a lovely church with a fellow seminarian whose congregation had constructed the building. It was a structure of beauty, certainly calling folks into worship and even service. Jordan followed his friend through the building and would conclude with the viewing of the final climax of the tour. Once outside, the friend asked Jordan to behold on the top of the church this gold cross, gigantic. And the friend said, that cross cost $10,000. And this was in the 50s and the 40s. Jordan replied, time was when a Christian could get one of those for nothing. So what Clarence Jordan was pointing to is the idea that we should not value things the way the world does. People would drive by and see that cross glittering in the sun, and they would say, wow, they would be impressed. But Clarence Jordan was trying to show that the value of the cross is not money, but in the way in which it means to be changed into a new creation, where the values are different. We really are all in need of a makeover, to be transfigured. We need to adopt this mentality that is in line with the life to which we're called. A few things happen in this passage which I think will help us as we work on being made over. We need to listen to be transfigured. Jesus did that. In this passage, we see Jesus conversing with the two big hitters, with two of the biggest hitters of the Jewish faith. He talks to Moses and Elijah. He sought them out because they were both leaders of big exoduses. Moses out of the bondage of Egypt and Elijah out of the bondage to Baal worship. The physical exodus and the spiritual exodus. Jesus needed to be changed, sought out people who knew things about what it means to live the life that was changed. Henry Kaiser, who built a vast industrial empire by the early 1900s, had this to say about business organization. He said, I make progress by having people around me who are smarter than I am and listening to them. And I assume that everyone is smarter about something than I am. Jesus had the ability to talk to them in person. This is not the case, but we can still listen. We have the scriptures. We have wisdom from so many sources. We can listen to that great cloud of witnesses. Listen to the saints that have come and gone. If you like Star Wars, it's very similar to the past Jedi who can speak to the living Jedi through the power of the Force. If you know Star Wars, you know what I'm talking about. If not, you can watch it and you can understand. Listening to the saints that have come and gone is a big part of being changed, being transfigured. I took a confirmation class to the Roman Catholic Church where we were living, and we asked the priest about the role of saints, and one of our kids later said that the saints are like the Hall of Fame. He was a baseball fan. A Hall of Fame for Christians. This is why we are ready about those who came before to be changed. We learn from their lives. We learn from their mistakes. We learn from their fears. We listen to them. We do this by reading what they wrote, by reading stories about them. We can seek out saints and thinkers and writers who went through similar things and see how they handled oppression, pain, suffering, how they handled being this new creation, and that helps us to be transfigured. There's a story about Charles Swindoll, who found himself with too many commitments in too few days. He's a writer. He was pretty busy. He got nervous and he got tense about it. He said, "I was snapping at my wife and our children. I was choking down my food at mealtimes. I was feeling irritated, unexpected interruptions throughout the day." He recalled in his book, Stress Fractures, "Before long, things around home started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up style," and he said it was becoming unbearable. He said, "I distinctly remember after supper one evening the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school, so she began hurriedly, 'Daddy, I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you really fast.' Suddenly realizing her frustration, I answered, 'Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly. I'll never forget what she said,' he says. She said, 'Then listen slowly.'" Jesus took his time up on that mountain. We see right after he's done, he comes down. He's on his way to Jerusalem, which means for him death. But he took time to listen slowly. We too need to listen slowly. Even if the moment what we read or learn doesn't impact us, if we listen slowly and we'll hear what we need to, seeking new and more heroes of the faith to learn from. Not just the cloud of witness, but in this passage, to be made over, we need to listen not just to the saints from all over the world, but we need to listen to God. At the baptism, God says that Jesus is his son with whom he's pleased. And now at this time on the Mount of Transfiguration, God says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." The word listen contains the same letters as silent. To listen, we need to be silent. We can forget that. We need to listen to what Jesus has to say, not what I or other people have to say about Jesus. Just listen to Jesus. To Jesus through scripture, prayer, listening to what he says about being changed, about this life of faith. We need to listen to the author and perfecter of our faith so we can listen. But there's another thing that helps us, and this is a hard one. To be transfigured, changed, the hardest thing is changing means leaving things behind. Makeover means leaving the old clothes behind, the old habits behind. It makes me think many summers ago, we took our family when we went camping outside of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We were in a rustic cabin, no frills. And as we walked around the campgrounds, we went for a walk, and I was amazed, and I just kind of like, I don't know why, but how far technology had come with campers and RVs. The motorhomes that I saw they had all the conveniences of home on wheels. A camper no longer needed like sleeping in sleeping bags or cooking over a fire or, you know, hauling in water from the stream. You can park it fully equipped on a cement slab with, you know, a few pine trees. You hook up the water line, the sewer line, the electricity. I saw some with satellite dishes on top, you know, no more with dirt, no more smoke in the fire, no more drudgery walking to the stream. It's possible to go camping and never go outside. People, you know, it's amazing. People may drive to a new place to set up to new surroundings, but the newness goes unnoticed when you do it like that. Now, I'm not saying I'm against RVs and these amazing campers, but I'm trying to show that in order to be transfigured, made over, then we have to let things go. We have to actually go camping. We have to actually sleep on the ground in a spiritual sense. We can carry into our newness, our new creation, a lot of things that give us comfort. But if we change our values and look different, then some things just have to be different than they just do. Like with my own makeover, it was hard for me to get rid of that sweater that I wore all the time. I love that sweater. I still love that white sweater. But I had to change. I had to get rid of it. The adventure of the new life in Christ begins when the comfortable patterns of the old life are left behind. But this is hard to hear. This is stuff that we don't want to hear because it's hard for us to do. But we have to allow ourselves to be changed, to leave the patterns, expectations, those values behind. We listen to God and trust that us being changed is for the best, for the better, and what we gain is so much more. So this transfiguration for us is not our clothes or just our minds, but it's importantly our hearts and souls that are changed. You know what it looks like? It actually looks a lot like being in love. You can see when someone is in love. They have a glow, you know, speaking of Valentine's Day. They have a glow. Things are exciting. They see things in a different way. They think everything is great, that everything is wonderful. They do not look, they don't exactly look different, but their appearance has changed. Something is different. We are new creations in love with a great God, and we are supposed to look different. Not in appearance, but not by what we wear or don't wear, but the way in which we live our life and the things that have changed. Jesus says at the end of the passage, don't tell anyone. They're heading down the mountain. The disciples have seen and heard amazing things, but he says nothing, which I think we can take in a different way. Jesus was saying to them, do not tell people until I die and come back, but it can also remind us that if we're changed by God, we don't need to say anything. There's no need, like someone who's in love, the way we are, you know, they're voracious for each moment. The ways we seek to learn from the saints of faith, from Jesus, for how to begin to give up things in our life that we don't need anymore. And people will notice this. They'll see this. We don't need to tell them. They'll be able to tell. That the ways in which we interact with the world, with others, with our families, our friends, the community, will be so clear that there'll be no need to say anything. The thing that I love at the end of this passage is all this amazing things happen. The miraculous visitors and the voices from the clouds of heaven, who's God, and says, looked, and it was just Jesus. I love that line. They looked around and everything was gone, and it was just Jesus. It was the same Jesus, but now things were different. The world was different. They were changed by it. They were transformed by what they saw. This is so important because Wednesday Lent begins. We begin to head to the cross again as a body, as a church. And as we become more and more this new creation, the center of it all, the one we're seeking after is Jesus, just Jesus. But because we've been made over, it's not the same. Jesus takes on new meaning for us. Life takes on new meaning. We're called to that. We're called to put out part of the vibe and energy that is the kingdom to come. So today I leave us with Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We are here, each of us, as a new creation, made over. Let's accept this and allow it to continue to change and move us. Continue to let God and the saints on which, you know, tell us what life needs to look like, what we are to hold on to and what we're called to let go and walk boldly into this new life together. Time for a makeover, to look less like ourselves and more like Christ.